Good morning again, and obviously we're not going to be in the book of Ephesians today because Keith is home, and we have to take a break from the Our Struggle series because of full disclosure, I'm not done with the next one yet. So I reached into the archives when Josh called me yesterday, we talked. But just something a little different. This kind of rides on the message I delivered in December, New Year's Eve of 2017, about how you were going to serve God in 2018. So today I'm going to challenge you a little bit more on how you're going to serve God, and I'm going to focus on this church. I want you to think about what you can do here to help this church grow. So today's message is called, Time to Check Your GPS. And we're going to talk a little bit, and my PowerPoint has pictures this time, so I'm going above and beyond the call of duty here. So I'm stretching myself, you bet. Again, full disclosure, some of this PowerPoint was already done. So if you would, join me in prayer, and then we'll touch on some of these topics here. Father God, we just thank you for this time that we jump into your word, and I just pray, Father, for open hearts and open minds, and that those who have a desire to serve you would just do so. Father, the church can't grow without people who will serve, and I just pray for each and every one here to use their gifts. And Father, for me, I would just ask that you would give me the words that you want me to speak to your people on this day, and I pray, Father, for just an awesome time of jumping into your word. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So, God has a personal plan for every one of us. Every one of us has something that God wants us to do. Do is the key word. Do you know what that is? Do you know what direction you're headed for God? Do you know what you want to do? If whatever God has placed in your heart, and are you watering it so that it'll grow? Most of you know that GPS stands for Global Positioning System, but not today. Today we're going to look at God's positioning system. Have you ever asked yourself, why am I here? Not as the general, why am I here, but why are you here at Cornerstone? What brought you here? Some of you came with the church when it came over here many, many years ago, but some of us have found you fairly recently. This is not an easy church to find. This church is in the middle of a field, literally. And, you know, we found it because of the website, and why are you here? We're like 4 miles off of a major highway. God brought you here for a reason. God has us here to do something for him. So the scripture I'm going to use today, and I forgot to put it up, I apologize, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You will see it on the PowerPoint later on, but I'll read it for you now. And again, as always, I use the NASB. And here's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Maybe you don't know what God wants you to do, but here's what you can do to help yourself. First, acknowledge him. And again, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't, you're probably not going to have any desire to serve anyway. But acknowledge him. You can pray, wait for an answer. God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And he'll give you some direction. Do you think that God wants you to serve him? The answer is yes. God did not save us just to sit in a chair on Sunday morning. God saved us to do something. You have to figure out what that is. You can read, study, meditate on the word, look for direction, look for answers in his word. And here's the big thing. Once you figure it out, you have to get up and get going. How many of you have ever used a GPS? There's got to be at least two of you. Okay, lots of you. You punch in an address, the city, the state, street name, whatever your GPS asks for. Then what do? You push go. You have to do something. I can put an address in there all day long, but until I do something, you're going to sit in your driveway or a parking lot or wherever you may be. So, you know what you have to do. You have to go do it. Romans 12, 4 and 8 says this. We all have gifts. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, or he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What gifts do you have? I'd be willing to bet that you know what they are, or at least should. Many members, look around you, many members, all of you, make up this body of this church building. The church is literally people, but all of you make up this. If we remove one of those members that has a gift, does it ding the church a little bit? Probably. That doesn't mean that God won't raise somebody else up. But I've had some surgeries where some of my parts have been removed. I don't know if any of you have had that. My appendix is gone. My gallbladder is gone. I have wisdom teeth that are gone. I have a bunch of stuff that's missing. It's gone. My body does not function at 100% because of that. I have had some side effects. And if you've ever had anything removed that has something that's important in your body, you'll figure it out. All of us work together with the gifts that we have to make the church happen. And I said this in the beginning, if you're not using your gifts, the church cannot grow. In Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, this is what Paul writes, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, that's us, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We use our gifts, we build the church. We don't use our gifts, it stagnates. Without the use of the gifts, nothing happens. I am huge on change. I love change. Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I know, it's weird. It's weird. Nobody likes change, right? People abhor it. I love change. And here's why. Without change, we don't grow. If you don't change, you don't grow. You stagnate. We don't want that to happen. So why do we serve? We look at our role model. And who is our role model? Christ. Luke 22:27, this is what Jesus says. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Here's what Jesus is saying. Let me paraphrase it for you. Do not be concerned about being the greatest. Be more concerned about serving like Christ. On a number of occasions, the apostles were discussing who was the greatest, right? And Jesus kept saying, see, you guys keep missing it. Okay. The one who serves. What is your attitude, or what is our attitude in serving? Humility. Philippians 2:3 says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. More important than you. I'm a firm believer that marriage teaches us to be holy, not happy. The other person is more important than myself. Misty is more important than I am. Whatever she wants is more important than what I want. So you have to put the other person first. Look around you. There's a lot of other persons here. Right? How can you serve them the best? And then 1 Peter 4:9 says this, be hospitable to one another without complaint. So here's what these two scriptures are saying. Put the other person first, and when you do, don't whine and complain about it. Do it out of love for the other person. Who do we serve? Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, do your work heartily for the Lord rather than for man. For those of you who go out to work every day, who are you working for? You may think it's your boss. It's actually you're working for God. Joshua 24:14 says this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. When we serve each other, we're serving God. God likes when his people take care of each other. He likes when we go out into the community and get those people in here. He died for those people out there. He died for you guys too. Hopefully you've grasped that already. We need to go out and reach the others. Now, there are some nice benefits to serving, to reaching other people. God will honor you. John 12:26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. If you are serving Christ, God will honor you. God will also not forget your work. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. Who are the saints? We are. Those who are saved, right? So you're ministering to each other. Church grows from within. God will bless your obedience. Luke 5:4-7, here's what Jesus says. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. Key word here is, but I will do as you say. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help. And they came and filled both of the boats, so they began to sink. Here's a quick application. When God asks you to do something, you do it right away. God will bless it. Now, that doesn't mean he won't bless it if you hesitate and you're like, I'm afraid to do this, because he'll work on you with that. Do what God asks you to do, and he will bless. Here's a point for you to think about. Missy and I have been in marriage ministry, I think, about 13 years or so now. When we first started doing it, we were on a Friday night. We had a decent turnout. People would come, but we noticed as Friday nights went on, people were not coming as regularly. So we started talking to them, and they were saying, well, my kid has sports, and my kid has this, and my kid has that. It's like, well, get rid of your kid. Be here. You're here for a reason. Get rid of your kid. And then, you know, well, I worked all week, and, you know, it was one excuse after another. I say that with love. So I went into prayer, and I said, God, we got to do something, because this isn't my ministry, it's yours. And so he laid it on our hearts to move it to Sunday mornings. You know that scripture about pouring out a blessing you can't contain? We changed classrooms 3 times because it grew so fast. I went to leadership first. I did it right. I said, we need to change this to Sunday mornings. And they hesitated a little. And then we finally said, okay, let's go. At the end of that marriage ministry, or at the peak of that marriage ministry, we had 53 people in that group. We had single people. We had people who had spouses that were unsaved. We literally took over half of an old sanctuary. We had so many people in it. We were going to the movies together. We were doing concerts together. We were doing all this stuff together. And it was amazing to watch what God was doing. It was humbling to me to see how God was growing that thing. And marriages were saved. I saw God change people's lives, and I'm like, wow. It had nothing to do with me. Nothing. The only thing I did was I was obedient. If God has put something on your heart, don't you think that if you start to do it the way he wants you to do it, he's going to bless it somehow? Now that, like other ministries, run its course, and God gave me something else to do. And he's entrusted me with a couple others. Marriage is just one. Another one is people who have been hurt by a church. That one's a heartbreaker. If you think that one's easy, that one's not. But yet God brought them to me. I can't take any credit for any of it. He brought them to me, these people who are hurting from what churches had said and done to them. God will bless your obedience. Now, here's the other side of it. Expect trials as you go through this. If you do what God wants, do you think the enemy's going to roll over and say, oh, that's good, go ahead and do it? You have to serve through the trials. There are four books that Paul wrote from prison: Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, and Colossians. All four of those books were written while he was in prison. For those of you who need a reminder of what the prisons were like in those days, they were sewers. They lowered you into the ground. Everything that's up here flowed down, animal waste, human waste, all the garbage, everything. So that's basically where Paul was sitting, in a prison that was basically underground and junk was all over. Let me talk about these four books and tell me if you think that maybe Paul served okay as he wrote these letters. First is Ephesians. Here's the theme of that book: God's eternal purpose to establish and complete his body, the Church of Christ. And here are your sub-themes for that book: predestination, Christ's headship over the body, the church as the building and the temple of God, the mystery of Christ, spiritual gifts, and the church as the bride of Christ. Philippians, the self-humiliating or self-emptying of Jesus Christ. Sub-themes: preaching of Christ, the pattern of the Christian life, the humility of Christ, the prize of the Christian life, the knowledge of Christ, the peace of the Christian life, the presence of Christ. Philemon was the only personal letter that Paul wrote to a single person. It was a friend of his. And here's what that's about. How to live the Christian life within this evil system. He wrote it for slaves and masters. But that's the paraphrase of it. How to live the Christian life in an evil system. Do we live in an evil system today? I would say so. And it's getting more evil by the day. Colossians was the supremacy and all-sufficiency of Christ. Sub-themes. Christ's person and work, heresy, and believers' union with Christ. Now, those are the four prison letters that Paul wrote. That's powerful stuff. Now, he's sitting down there in the dark, living in these horrible conditions, and he writes these beautiful letters. And how many years ago was that? And we're still looking at them today, we're still studying them today, and we're still mind blown today. A gentleman by the name of G. Campbell Morgan said this, if you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. He was a British evangelist. He died in 1945. He was a preacher. When I first read this, I was like, well, I don't know if I like that, because I don't know if I like the fact that church people might come against you. Do you know where most of the opposition comes to a Christian in ministry? Would you like to take a guess? From within the church. From within the church. I did a program called Start Church a couple years back. And they teach people how to start churches and how to protect churches. 1,000 churches a month get sued. You know who does most of the lawsuits against the church? The official board. So, I don't think Jesus is happy with that. Thank God it's not happening here. Praise God it's not happening here. And there are some other churches that churches are growing in some cases. But there are churches, man's pride gets in the way. It's not what we're supposed to do. Think of the other person as more important than you. When you sue someone, that's not exactly thinking more important as the other. So you can expect opposition. Some warnings for you. Taking credit. It's not your ministry, but his. Anything that you do is not you. You are serving, and he is working through you. John 15, 4 and 5 says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you working hard at ministry without Jesus? You're going to work really hard and get nowhere. Don't think for a second that you're going to get anything done in ministry without him. Another problem that you may see is envy. Don't covet another's work. John 21:21-22 says this, so Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Goes back to the garden, that woman you gave me. Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to do? You follow me. Here's what Jesus is saying in a nice way. Stop looking around you. What did I ask you to do? You follow me. You do what I've asked you to do. And those other guys, I got those taken care of. What is it to you? What happens with them? Don't worry about what the other... There's always going to be... All right, here it goes. Somebody's always going to have a bigger ministry than you. Somebody's always going to be a little smarter than you. And me too, by the way, us. There's always going to be somebody else. You do what God wants you to do. Well, my ministry only... See what I said? My ministry. God's ministry that he entrusted to me, I've only got 5 people in it, and the guy down the street has 20. So what? Those 5 people need you. You go to the death for those 5 people if you have to. You fight for those 5 people. There's a reason that God put them under your care, whatever that may be. Also, be patient. Don't jump ahead of God. He will guide you and tell you when it's time to move on. John 2:5-8 says this. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there were 6 stone water pots sat there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. And this begins what? Or what does this start as? Jesus' first miracle. Turn water into wine. Why? Because mommy said, you do what he tells you to do. You do it. the water pots. What goes in them? Water. Makes sense. Put water in them. Something big is about to happen here, and you guys have no idea what's going to start. You do what Jesus asks you to do when he asks you to do it. Trust in him. Here's the scripture I just read. I'm going to read it again for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It may be time, whatever ministry God has entrusted to you, that it may be time for you to move on. God may have something new for you to do. And let me tell you, it is hard to move on. You've put in a lot of time, a lot of hours. You've gotten these great relationships with people. And now God is saying, it's time for you to go somewhere else. I need you to do something else. One of the hardest things you'll ever do as a leader of a ministry that God has entrusted with you is move on to something else, because you're going to leave those people that you've put your heart and your soul into. It's hard. But there's something that God wants you to do. You have to go do it. He's trained you for all that time. Do it. He'll bring somebody else up if he has to for that ministry. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. The statement, "It's too hard," is not acceptable. Keep your eyes on the cross and keep doing. The statement, "I already tried and failed," is not acceptable either. Don't quit too soon. Opposition will come. The devil doesn't want you to succeed. God does. You are going to be in a training period initially. Are you willing to stick it out with God to do what he has asked you to do? Are you willing to take a couple of shots to the face and a punch to the stomach now and then to serve God? I hope you are. Here's one of the greatest words from a movie. Our little green friend. For those of you who aren't Star Wars fans, just bear with me. Try not. Do or do not, there is no try. If you go into the ministry that God is telling you, placed on your heart, telling you to do, and you go, "Well, I'll try," what are the odds of succeeding? How much faith do you have when God has put something on you in your heart and you're on fire for this thing? "Well, I don't know where to start." That's not an excuse. Talk to somebody. "Well, I'm too old." No, you're not. "I'm too young." No, you're not. "I'm this, I'm that." No, you're not. None of those excuses would ever fly with me, and here's why. I went back to college at 46 years old. I spent 9.5 years in college to get my biblical degree, my BS in biblical studies, and then I went to seminary. At 55 years old, they handed me a diploma, 9.5 years later. I was so emotional, I couldn't even cry. It was like, wow, that was neat. So, being old ain't going to fly. Being young isn't either. Being single, being married, being this, being that. God doesn't want excuses. He wants servants who are saying, "I will. I am willing." Imagine the conversation that God the Father had with God the Son as they looked down on the earth and God says, "Boy, I have a job for you. We've got a problem down there." And Jesus looked at him and said, "I'm willing." Then God, by, said to the Son, just bear with me, obviously I'm speculating, proving a point. Well, he looked down and said, "Well, there's something I haven't told you, Son. There's only one way to fix that sin. Are you willing to do what I'm going to ask you to do?" And, "Yeah, sure, I'm willing." And then he probably said this, "You're going to have to die for them." "I'm willing, Dad. But for those few hours, you and I are going to be separated for the first and last time ever. God the Father and God the Son, there'll be a rift because I can't look upon you while you have all that sin." And Jesus still said, "I'm willing." What's your excuse? The last time I did this message, it was well received, so I'm hoping I don't have to run through the parking lot. We are fantastic at making excuses. Young, old, tall, short, blah, blah, blah. "I can't do this, I can't do that." Well, how do you know? Have you tried? Do you want to face the Lord one day and say, and he looks at you, welcome home, but you missed it. Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Why didn't you do it? I don't think any excuses are going to fly with them. Be aware of what your church leaders are asking of you. People see things. I love to watch people. I love to watch some of you. I talk to very little. On occasion, I will say hi and stuff, and that's just because there's a lot going on. But I'm watching you, and I love watching you guys, and I can see some gifts. I can see them. It's okay to use them. God gave them to you for a reason. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Now, obviously, if a church leader is asking you to do something unbiblical, you need to get out of that church, and you shouldn't do it. But what if a church leader came and asked you to do something? They saw something in you. They see a gift. They see that you have something, and they ask you. I'm gonna do something I don't usually do. I usually ask people. But as you know, I took over Sunday school superintendent a while ago, and I asked for volunteers. And you guys stepped up. Some of you have never taught Sunday school, and it's working. The kids are having a great time. Why? Because you guys have gifts. Earlier this week, Last week, I got a text from the Sunday school teacher that started today. She's sitting over here. I'm not going to mention names. And she said, I am so excited about this. And she explained to me how she went to school to teach preschoolers, right? It was preschool. So she's got this education, she's got this wisdom, she's got this knowledge, she has the experience. She goes, I forgot how much I missed it. I can't wait to get started. And I have been like, yeah, yes, yes, as a leader, yes. I'm glad she's excited. Because you know what that's going to do? That's going to pour over to the kids. And the kids are going to be excited. You see, you use the gifts, you're doing something. It's great. It's great. Use the gifts that God has given you. All right, so let's take a look at some applications for today. Find out what gifts you have. There's a number of different ways you can do this. There are some spiritual gift tests. They're okay. At least they give you an idea of what you are gifted in. But you probably know what you want to do. You probably know what you like to do, and just take that and use it into the church. Find out how it fits in here at CCC. How can you use that gift here? God isn't going to give you one and not use it. And then number three, go do. Whatever it is, go do. Speak to one of us and say, I would really like to do this. And let's see if we can get you. GPS also stands for God's people serve. You are God's people. Time to serve. There's always something to do. Always. Something to do. Do you know which direction God wants you to go? Now's the time to get busy. Are you serving Him? If not, why not? Why are you not using your gifts? God has put us here in this place for a reason. There's a lot of life between Sundays. How are you living it? So when you leave here today, I'm taking a nap. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little tired. Take a nap. But we have Sunday afternoons, we have Mondays through Saturdays, and then we're back here next Sunday. What are you going to do for the next 6 days? Are you going to reach your community? Are you going to figure out something you can do here to grow this church? This is a tiny church. I love this church. It's so quaint. But here's what's happening. We're starting to see some new faces here. People are finding this church. Why? Because God is bringing them here. Why is God bringing them here? I don't know. But we need to serve them. We need to serve each other. And I know it's, you know, when we have all these new visitor faces, it's fun. It's new people. It's like having a new baby that you don't need to feed and change every 3 hours. Hopefully not anyway. So what are you going to do? Challenged you a little over a year ago. I'm challenging you today. What are you going to do with the gifts that you have? And if you don't know what gifts you have, talk to one of us. We will help you find it. We can dig things out. They usually show up pretty quick when you start asking questions. So, Are you willing to serve God? Are you willing? If God put his arm around you, if Jesus came down here in the physical form, put his arm around you and said, this is what I want you to do, would you give the same answer? I am willing. You're going to take some shots. I'm willing. People may not like you. I am willing. Are you willing to say that to him? I hope so. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the gifts that you give us. Father, I just pray for each and every person here that whatever gift they have, that they will use it to grow this church, to bring this community here, to show your love through us. Father, we just thank you that we can serve, and what a blessing it is to do so. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.